Welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor, and this is Qualifying. Hello and welcome to DNF1, today's qualifying report. Again, it's another late one, I'm afraid, Derek.
Yes, a bit of a wait tonight, just.
So we did see qualifying today, we just, unfortunately, due to work commitments, couldn't do the podcast there and then, but a pretty good qualifying. I think there's a lot of strategy at play.
Yes, a lot of it, different strategies going on.
So starting in Q3, because let's cover off Q3 before we get to the interest and stuff. Kimi and Giovanni, Kimi and Giovinazzi, bringing up the rear in the Alphas, which don't seem to be getting any better at any point this season.
No, they seem to have taken over the mantle from Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it's no big difference in time between, sort of, 20th and, sort of, 16th. Not huge, but it's enough that they're still trailing around at the back. They don't seem to be getting any better. I still think a lot of it's to do with the engine. They can try and drive the wheels off it, but they're stuck back there. And then we've got Latifi in 18th with the Williams. And then Kevin Magnussen, I thought he was going to do better. Obviously, very little running last week because his incident with Albon. Considering where Roman got into Q2, I'd have expected Kevin Magnussen to be there or thereabouts. And then Danny Kvyat, I think his fastest lap was actually deleted for track limits, and then he kind of went over that.
But I don't think it would have actually saved him. From what they're saying, it wouldn't have just. Maybe it might have just beat Russell, but I don't think so.
Fraction of
what they were saying when the.
No. I mean, again, they've installed this extended sort of raised part on the exit of Chapel just before they're going to Hangar Street, and quite a few of them were obviously having problems running a wee bit wide and going over the top of it, because on Danny Kvyat's car, it looked like it had damaged the floor. But even the slow-mos looked like it was eating the underside of any car that was going over the top of it.
Chewing through it and showed a vulnerability of the Ferraris the day before, sort of thing. So it's a similar sort of thing that sliced through the base of the thing. The engine. The floorboards. Sorry.
It's
all right.
That's the Q3, pretty much the same usual suspects, but Russell again made it out of Q2, made it into Q2. So Williams are definitely improving. And again, for 15th, Russell hopefully will go forward.
We'll see. Bit of luck, he'll get a few people dropping out and up. Maybe crawl up towards the 13th, 4th, 12th, you know?
I mean, I don't think he's going to get a point in any way, shape, or form, unfortunately. It'll take a lot for that to happen. That midfield battle is too intense. There's too many good teams in there. Williams ain't getting close to that. They can just be best of the rest. They can be the leading contenders between Haas and Alfa Romeo, really.
They've just got to copy the Mercedes for next year. They'll be fine. Sorry, I started again. Sorry.
Stop that, Derek. We'll be here all night, even later. Roman Grosjean, a wee bit of a return to form, 14th. But again, Haas has got to be fighting with Williams to actually be the leaders of that sort of pack, that section. But I don't think they're going to be anywhere near the top 10 again. That's the unfortunate truth for Haas as it stands. But again, Ferrari team. Ocon's got to be dropped down into there because he's 3 second penalty for holding up Russell.
He's
Q1.
In 14th. So
Roman's in 30th. So Grosjean's at 13, Sainz and Vettel drop. Which then brings us to Sainz, Vettel. Sainz
and Norris. Sainz and Vettel. Sainz, you know, a bit of a disappointing day for
it
McLaren.
Really is.
Just didn't manage to hook it up together.
And that's been the both weekends, the qualifying performance hasn't been as good as what it could have been. I mean, they improved obviously come the race, but it's a bit disappointing for Sainz and Norris even in 10th, but it just goes to show that the midfield is really hotting up. And then we come to Vettel. Now, we've said it since the get-go, he wasn't interested. And
he's got gone.
Yeah.
There is something not right when a four times world champion in a Ferrari cannot hook a leg together and get through to the top 10 shootout, there is something fundamentally wrong. There is something wrong when you have a car that last year was challenging and then they get a mysterious agreement with the FIA that nobody knows what they were said, what was said, and then suddenly Ferraris are going backwards, not forwards. There's something not right. There is something not right at all.
Do you think, I mean, quick answer, do you think it's car or driver or both?
Car.
Yeah.
I don't think Vettel's forgotten how to drive in the space of
the commentators on Sky today, they started questioning, where is Vettel? He can't be running a bit back there. Do you think they're putting actually maybe second-hand parts, well, no second-hand parts, but not the same spec components on Vettel's car and Leclerc is getting priority? Remember, I think it would be components that were getting put on Vettel's car and Webber was getting the stuff that wasn't. That was at Silverstone as well.
I think if you take a look at it and you look where Charles Leclerc is, I don't think there's any difference. I just think Leclerc's better driver at the moment. You know, that's definite. That's without anything. You know, you'd have put them in two milk floats, that would be about where they're at.
I mean, to be fair, Seb's only about a 1/30 second off of Leclerc in Q2 times, so that there wasn't much in it. And even Leclerc didn't improve. I mean, they would have obviously been using the tyres that they expect to start the race, probably the mediums for quite a few of them in there.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a level playing field. And then when we get into the final session, Leclerc actually didn't improve his time in Q3. I tell a lie, actually. He did by 1/10 he improved his time.
But nothing exciting.
No. I think Leclerc will drag the car around the track, actually. That'll be a bit better than Vettel. So maybe the car, but I think Vettel's head's just not in the right place now. He's struggling between the lack of running last weekend, the engine failure this weekend. He certainly is making him look bad, but you'd think he'd full-time world champion. He's got to have some skill set there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you look at where he's, they're talking about sending him, or where he's talking about going, sort of thing. If you look at where their positions are on the top 10, sort of thing, you think, well, you know, has he made a mistake or has he just made the best move that's possible? You know, if he goes there and next year the Ferraris are saying they are not going to be competitive.
No.
And
do you think Sainz is going, uh-oh?
Mm. Well, you know, Sainz is going, well, I'm going to get a nice new Ferrari. I'm fine, you know.
I suppose I'll have
a Ferrari to drive around in.
That'll put a smile on anyone's face, to be fair.
A freebie Ferrari, yeah.
Vettel's an enigma at the moment. I don't know where he's actually going to go. We'll find out by the end of the season, but certainly it's a difficult one. I think once he actually leaves Ferrari, it'll probably all come out in the wash. We'll maybe find it then. And we might even find that once Vettel's actually left Ferrari, unless they've got a gagging order on him, we might actually get to the bottom of the engine issue. We might actually find out exactly what went on. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that's Q2, as it brings us to what will be, well, would be Ocon, but Seb's up to 11th, Carlos Sainz is in 12th. And then that brings us to the top 10. So Norris, not another great day, but I think he'll go forward in the race. He seems to have the chops for actually getting that car forward. But
I was going to say, I think McLaren are prepping the car more for the race pace.
Yeah.
Because they know they're not going to beat the Mercedes in the top 10 sort of shootout for the positions.
Yeah.
And they're quite happy to be in the mix for best of the rest, you know. And so they want the car for the long haul. To get the points, so they can do it. You know, that's the. I think that's the strategy there, but I can be wrong. But
we will see tomorrow on that one. I mean, the only problem Lando Norris has, he's got Alexander Albon sitting in front of him, in what is a reasonably competitive Red Bull. However, depend where Alex Albon's head is, and then you've got a Ferrari in front of him. I think it's a far harder task this week. than it was last week for him.
Yeah.
We've even got Pierre Gasly's up there in seventh in the AlphaTauri. I mean, that's a good result for him. I mean, he had a good race weekend last week, but
yeah,
that's another. And that whole midfield, there's no mugs in there. And I think Lando Norris has got to struggle to actually move forward for 10th, to be completely honest. I'm looking
It'll
at
just
it
be and, on the start of the race.
Yeah.
And turn three, that's when we'll know. Turn three, we'll know what they go around. They go around that turn three on that first lap. That'll sort out the chickens from the hens, you know.
Yeah. So Norris is sitting there. We've got Albon in front of him in ninth. We've got Leclerc in eighth in a Ferrari that may or may not perform. We will see. Gasly's probably the one that they'll be looking at going, well, we can maybe make up the place there. I think he'll go backwards off the start. And then we've got Stroll sitting in the racing point there in sixth. And he's probably disappointed with that considering where Hülkenberg actually finished. And it wasn't just a case, he was just ahead. There's basically, there's 3/10 in there.
There's daylight between them. There's daylight between them.
Which then begs the question of where that's all going ahead come towards the end of the season. And is Lance Stroll's seat as safe as he likes to think? Who knows? But he needs to start performing that wee bit better, especially in qualifying. If you've got somebody like Nico Hülkenberg, who's got a lot of experience in the car, performing so well.
Well, could you imagine a Hülkenberg Vettel German team?
That'd be good. I'd watch that.
Now that's an interesting combination. I don't think Dad's going to sack his son.
No,
I think it's. I don't think that, but it could get COVID and have to be off for a few weeks. I mean, that might help.
Look, the thing is with Lance Stroll, he needs to actually stop people like us saying, oh, he's there because his dad owns the team. And he's shown actually this season really good pace and he's got potential. But the trouble is when somebody else steps in and actually performs like Hülkenberg did, now Hülkenberg, we'll come to him in a second, puts it on P3 ahead of, well, Verstappen. I mean, okay, different strategy maybe playing out for Max and maybe different setup in the car. But that just goes to show with two decent drivers that racing point could be in an even better position. But Stroll needs to start performing in race and actually be up where Hülkenberg is. Ricardo, that Renault. The Renaults have been strong since last weekend. They had obviously the upgrades. Ocon, I think, is starting to show his true colours as to his pace and performance. And Ricardo's starting to love that car and get these performances out of it. And then we have Max sitting in fourth, who is going to be starting on the hard tyres. So there's a bit of strategy in there. He may actually be sitting in the hard tyre, running in clean air a bit longer. And I don't know if it'll overturn the Mercedes, but definitely I think Hülkenberg ain't going to finish third. I think over race length, Max is going to have it. But any late dramas with the tyres and stuff is going to put Verstappen in a position to take advantage.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think sort of Hülkenberg didn't get the message about tracing point not being allowed to be ahead of everybody, and you know, Stroll's playing the family game and has taken his dad's words on board and realised that he can't really go too fast because they get upset, you know, and Renault will have to put another formal complaint in about the fact that Daniel is two places behind him, and you know they're not going to be happy with that.
No,
so
no,
it's going to have to be something changed. But I think if Hülkenberg's putting himself in the shop window to try and get a seat somewhere on the grid,
yeah,
I think he's doing an excellent job of an excellent PR job of getting himself noticed. And if he should, by some fluke of management, manage to finish third tomorrow and end up on the podium, I think everybody will be queuing up to put him in their car.
Yeah. I mean, we knew Nico was good, but he was never in a car and never had the luck. That was the bottom line.
He never got the brakes.
No. And this just
goes
to show...
That's because Racing Point had got them.
Oh, let's not start on that, Derek.
I like a bit of controversy at this time of night.
Look, the thing is, though, that top 10... For third to 10th, it's basically 1 minute 26.0 0.08 all the way through to 126.778. There's not even a second in there. That midfield is going to be fantastic. But let's be honest, the step up to Merck is nearly, both of them are nearly a second ahead.
Yeah.
If even over race distance, I think Hamilton will overtake Bottas. If it's not on track, it'll be at a pit stop. He'll get past him. And we will be in a position where we're watching 3rd to 10th is going to be what we're going to be looking at and
That's the race will be tomorrow. Yeah. Yes.
I think with the tyres being obviously that bit softer, we're going to at least see a two pit stop strategy from everybody, because they also know that if they run the tyres a wee bit too long, they might go pop. Regardless of the increase in the PSI in them, I still think that two stop race across the board. But top three, Derek, I just kind of see it finishing any other way except Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen, barring tyre incidents or crash.
Yeah. I say that, you know, you'll have Hambot Verstappen or Ham Verstappen Bottas or Ham Bottas. You know, I think there could be somebody different. Somebody different into that top three. Hülkenberg could be the one. It all depends on the bit of luck.
Because Max's tyre strategy is going to mean that he's a stronger position than Nico Hülkenberg, which is a shame because I'd love to see him get that podium. But likewise, Max will get third. I guarantee it. I'd put good money on it being Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen. I said it was the same last weekend, and if it wasn't for the tyre issue, it would have been that way. Watch the midfield. That's where all the action's going to be, unless somebody takes them out. Like you said, come the third bend, we'll get a good idea of the positions, and then it'll be... I genuinely think it's going to be a great race. Between the tyres, two pit stop strategies, it's got everything. It should be like this every weekend, you know?
Bit of controversy as well. That's just what we need.
We mentioned that, obviously, in yesterday's podcast. I don't know how it's going to pan out. I genuinely think that it's a case of they've had the slap over the wrist. Even with these teams complaining about it, it was within the rules at the time. And
I think what we find at the moment that these teams have only put notification of the intent to. They haven't actually gone and complained yet.
Ah, right.
So it's only a notification of the intention to go and appeal it, which they had to give.
We'll see. Red Bull said we want clarification so we know what we can do with AlphaTauri next year. And that's a fair point. Let's have these other cars up there. Let's get the field more competitive.
Yeah, I agree with you. If we can do it, let's get more of them all the same.
Were you surprised that Hamilton didn't get pole today? I mean, I'll be honest, every race we go into, I always think that Hamilton always has that wee bit extra, but today he just made a wee mistake, and it's less than a tenth of a second between the two of them. But it'll give Bottas a boost, especially after last weekend.
I think they've got to the point now where they're sharing the spoils around now. Even at this early stage in the championship, you know, all right, we'll let Bottas win this, and, you know, Hamilton will still concentrate on the championship on the race day. But, you know, if he could do it, he would do it. And if he's not going to worry about the fact that he did get pole, that's what I was meaning.
No. Hamilton certainly wasn't happy that he didn't get pole. He was pretty disappointed when they were trying to interview him thereafter.
He said it was my fault. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think he said it was my fault. I didn't, you know, so.
I'd love to actually see if Hamilton is genuinely, because I know Hamilton plays for the cameras in a lot of cases where he's spoken about, oh man, my car's so slow, oh, we're in trouble here, and then 10 laps later he's winning the race on tyres that he shouldn't have got to the end. How much it is show and how much it is genuine. And it's not a bad thing. I just think that he's definitely got the measure of Bottas on the track in full race. But that one lap, Bottas done well today, I think. He really did.
He did.
Yeah.
I think you could tell by the way he reacted to it that he did. Yeah.
Yeah, because he needs to pick up the point. He needs to get close to Hamilton. He's already a race win away from him. So unless Hamilton has something drastic, he's still going to be chasing his tail. And if you'd like to get in touch with us on the show, you can do. You can email us at dnf1podcast@gmail.com, or you can go to beardycat.com and you can have a wee look at our merchandise and artwork, all available on there. Well, Derek, thanks for joining me.
No problem at all, sir.
You have a good evening, and it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe. Take care. We'll catch you all tomorrow. Enjoy the race.
This has been a Beardycat production for DNF1.